Today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 and 2 to 2a, and then picking up at verse 14 through 18. And the Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 51 through 69. Today's message is titled, Who is Able to Hear? Hear the word of God as written in Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. And now we're moving to verse 14. Now, fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. Here ends the first reading from Scripture. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter, beginning at the 51st verse. Jesus is teaching. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the ones who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. The event of the feeding of the 5,000 is now coming to a head. The tension in the crowd is rising. The teaching of Jesus is reaching a critical point. Will the people listen? Will they truly be open to what Jesus is saying? The bread lifted up with thanks in the wilderness to feed their hungry tummies is the sign pointing to the true bread of heaven that is standing before them. They eagerly ate of the bread in the wilderness the day before, but will they just as eagerly eat of this bread, seek this bread, this true bread that stands before them? Will their ears be open? Will their hearts be open to the spiritual truth that Jesus is proclaiming? The people, many of them know of Jesus' upbringing. They can recall Joseph. They know of Mary and Jesus' brothers and sisters. And it's a stumbling block for them. The familiarity of Jesus as a child is too much of them, too much for them to see Jesus as the Son of Man. That Jesus standing right before them, the bread of life, the Son of Man. The familiarity is just too much for them. Remember what Jesus said just a few moments ago. The work that God requires is this: to believe in the one he has sent. But the crowds just could not hear this teaching. They could not bear the teaching either. Jesus, the bread of life? Jesus, the true bread the Father sent from heaven, greater than Moses, who the people thought gave the manna daily in the wilderness? This Jesus reminds them. Jesus reminds them that their forefathers who ate the manna in the desert, they died. Contrasting that with the bread that Jesus offers, that he himself offers himself, the living bread that came down from heaven. Eat of this bread. Anyone, eat of this bread and you will live forever. What is this bread that Jesus will give so that you will live forever? John chapter 6, beginning at verse 50. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus is telling the crowd that he, Jesus himself, will be that sacrifice that brings life. Jesus will be the atoning sacrifice, perfect atoning sacrifice. He himself will be the sacrifice that brings life. The crowd starts to argue violently, is the imagery. I mean, it became a real heated argument amongst themselves in the crowd. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were so caught up in the physical image that the spiritual truth that Jesus is plainly speaking passes them by. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 53, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. When you heard those verses from Scripture, as these words were just spoken, what images came to your mind? Did your heart move to that moment in the upper room as Jesus lifts up the bread, gives thanks, and breaks it, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you? Did your heart move to that moment in the upper room? Did you see Jesus lift the cup and bless it, and Jesus saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you? Did the redeeming sacrifice of his body and blood come to your mind and to your heart in these words from John chapter 6? For that is precisely what Jesus is speaking about here. He himself giving his body and pouring out his blood for life to come to the world. Real life to be here. The Gospel of John does not include the description of the Last Supper as the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke include, that moment in the upper room. Yet here in this chapter 6, these verses of chapter 6 in John, John is communicating exactly what took place at the Last Supper. For Jesus' words here are exactly what is the imagery and taking place at the Last Supper. John chapter 6, verse 53, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. The body, the blood of Christ, you must have it to have life in you. You must have that sacrifice be a part of who you are. That verse, John chapter 6, verse 53, begins with, Amen, Amen. Amen, Amen, I say to you, if you have not eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and shall drunk of him the blood, you have not life in yourself. This is the truth. Unless you receive what Jesus freely gives, you have not life in yourself. This is the truth. Unless you receive what Jesus freely gives, his body and his blood, you do not have life. There is no eternal life in you. The eternal life, which is the Father's and is the Son's, is not in you unless you eat and drink the redeeming work of Christ. That's what it means. The redeeming work of Christ must come into your life. The flesh and the blood of Jesus is the showing of the redeeming work of Christ. Unless that redeeming work has come into your life, you have no life. There is no eternal life except the life brought by Jesus in his body, in his blood, his redeeming work on the cross. As it's written in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to the Father, the only way to eternal life, is through the redeeming work of Christ, Jesus. That redeeming work through his broken body and shed blood, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The atoning sacrifice Jesus gave for all sin. There's no getting around this. The work of the cross, where Jesus will give himself willingly and freely the sacrifice for guilty sinners. Charles Spurgeon said, "No, brothers and sisters, the food of your faith is to be found in the death of the Lord Jesus for you. And oh, what blessed food it is." John chapter 6, verse 40. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Looks to the Son. Just as back in the desert, when the venomous vipers bit, you were to look to the bronze serpent raised up that Moses had done according to the word of God. Bit by the venomous viper, look up to the braised bronze serpent and you will live. As it's written in John chapter 3, starting at verse 14. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Father's will is that everyone looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And you will be raised at the last day to be with him forever. Believe, receive, internalize Jesus is the Christ and him crucified. Partake of his flesh and his blood for eternal life to be in you. That redeemed life, you must have Christ in you. You must receive the finished work of Christ on the cross to have life, the redeemed life. John chapter 6, verse 60. Which you will find on the front of today's bulletin too. And if you want, pull the bulletin out and look at the front of the bulletin. You will see John chapter 6, verse 60. That is written in the Greek. Most of the letters there are lowercase Greek, except the pi that begins the beginning of the verse. That's uppercase. Poli. So this is the words. Poli, un, akosantes, ek, ton, metheton, Atu apen scleros, estin ho logos hautus, tis dunatai auto akuin. Some of those words would probably sound familiar to like poli, polygon, many. Aku, acoustics, hearing. Dunatai, dynamite, power. So you can see the English words that have come from these Greek words. But polo o akaten ek ton matetai, autu epin scleros estin ho logos autos, tis donatai auka akuin. This is now the words in English in that same Greek order. Many, therefore, having heard of the disciples of him, said, hard is the word this, who is able it to hear. Hard is the word. Who is able to hear? First, that poli, that many, refers to that large crowds that have been growing and following Jesus as he's wandered from place to place preaching and teaching and healing. These were learners following Jesus, so they can be called disciples. We need to remember that they were many, many more than the 12 and the woman who walked with the 12 who followed Jesus. When they, the larger crowd of followers, heard these things, it troubled them. It disturbed them. His teachings up to this point, they accepted and they were following. Now, these words were just too hard to accept. One would say Jesus is not being seeker sensitive here. His words are driving the crowds away. These words, eating his flesh, drinking his blood, they're not hard to understand, for they point to the imagery of the Old Testament sacrifices, the sacrificial system, and the way of atoning for sin. His words point to that. These words are not hard to understand. They're not easily misunderstood, for these words are clear images of sacrifices. Rather, these words are hard to accept, hard to hear, and they become a stumbling block in the way of faith. What Jesus is saying is difficult to believe. And to this very day, it's still difficult to believe. Jesus' teaching about his flesh and his blood is offensive and disagreeable. Jesus' words about himself are absurd, and they will reject the words and no longer follow Jesus. Does Jesus change his message? No. Jesus is doubling down now. He won't back away from the truth when he said, "I am the bread of life." And Jesus is pointing to his coming sacrifice on the cross where he will give his flesh and his blood. What Jesus gives at the cross, we must receive to have eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 61. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" Offend. Skidlitzo. Scandalon. Skidlitzo. It literally means stumbling block. You're walking down the road and it stumbles and causes you to fall. They're offended. These words, they just can't get past them. They stumble over them. And so Jesus says, "Does this offend you?" John chapter 6, verse 62. "What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before?" Acts chapter 1, beginning of verse 9. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Jesus ascended to where he was before. Just as he spoke the truth in verse 62, Jesus was speaking the truth in those previous verses, "My flesh, my body, for the life of the world." The result of these truths Jesus is speaking, many turn away. No longer would they follow him. The imagery of these words is that the largest portion of the people turned their backs on Jesus and walked away. The largest part of the group left. John chapter 6, verse 67. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Jesus now is turning to the group, that group that Jesus had personally said to, "Follow me," a few years earlier. He personally invited each one of those 12, "Follow me." Each one of these 12, they left their jobs, they left their homes, they left their family, they left all to follow. Would they turn their backs on Jesus? Would they walk away? Would they leave also? You don't quite get it in the English, but in the Greek word order, it will help here. Not also, you are wishing to go away? The question is asked in a manner to confirm that these 12 have no interest in leaving. Jesus expects to receive the answer that they're going to continue following him. That's the way the question is worded. He knows they're going to continue following, but he asks this question. Now, it's important to note, this is the first time in the Gospel of John that John refers to this group as the 12, indicating it is now a distinct group of followers. From the commentary known as Barnes Notes on the Bible, "Will you, whom I have chosen, on whom I have bestowed the apostleship, and who have seen the evidence of my messiahship, will you now also leave me?" In other words, this 12 that has been so privy and up close with Jesus in the teachings and walking the previous 2-3+ years or so, the timeline is a little there, 2-3 years. Will you leave? Jesus knew they would continue with him. Still, he's given the opportunity for them to express themselves, to freely express, freedom to express what's in their hearts. So we have John chapter 6, beginning of verse 68. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." By asking the 12 the question, it gave them the opportunity to express what was in their hearts. You have the words of eternal life. Indeed, Jesus has the words of eternal life. Eternal life is found only in Him. In His coming crucifixion, as the sacrifice of His flesh and of His blood for sin. Unless forgiveness of sins through Jesus' finished work on the cross comes into your life, that complete forgiveness of sin, unless that comes into your life, you do not have life in you. Unless that finished work of the cross comes into your life, that life Jesus gives you will not come in unless you receive what Jesus has done on the cross, the forgiveness of sins. Now, it's important to note here, Jesus did not chase after the many who left. Jesus did not revise nor modify the message to please the many who left so that they would return. Just as truth cannot be changed to please ears, neither can these words of life be changed to be more likable. These are the hard teachings of Scriptures, and they are truth. It's also important to note that the burden of responsibility of responding was on the hearers of Jesus' words. The responsibilities and burdens on the hearers of the words. Will they actually listen and take the truth to heart and respond with faith, believing Jesus is the Christ? Sadly, most, the larger portion, did not want to hear. Their response wasn't faith. Their response, turning their backs and walking away. Walking away from the words of life. That's hard to fathom, but people do walk away from the words of life. These are words of life. Again, here from John chapter 6, I'm going to begin at verse 53 through verse 58. Hear these words as being in that crowd. Let them penetrate through you and hear that sacrifice that Jesus says is coming. For these are words of life. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is real food and My blood is real drink. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood remains in Me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent Me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. What are you going to do with these words of truth? It's a similar question that Joshua asked back in the wilderness, as recorded in Joshua 24. Are you going to worship the false gods of the lands? Are you going to worship the false gods your forefathers worshipped on the other side of the river? Are you going to worship the one true God and follow Him alone? That same question is posed to the people of these days. Are you going to worship the gods that this world offers, all the religions, all the faiths this world offers? Or are you going to come and hear the words of life found only in Jesus Christ? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. Yeah, it's a narrow road, but it's an invitation to everyone. All can come. But as I said earlier, it's unfathomable, but there's people that will turn their back and walk away from the words of life. But not so you. You hear these words. Take them in. receive that sacrifice on the cross, the complete finished work of Christ on the cross, where He gave His flesh, He gave His blood as the perfect atoning sacrifice for your sin. There's nothing more for you to do. Just receive these words of life that He speaks to you. Believe He is the one the Father sent, the true bread from heaven. Believe, and you will have eternal life. Who is able to hear? You. You are able to hear and believe. And you have life. You have life in Christ. Amen. And amen.